All right, the Giants conclude the road trip today down in San Diego. They're 3-3. We'll go down to Petco and bring in the professor for the first time on Sunday morning, Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants. Well, how are you today?
Marty, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Pretty good out here early. You know, we're out here last night till, you know, after 11:30, and then we're back here early in the morning. You know what it's like, even for the radio guys.
Yeah, no question. It's like that in baseball, isn't it? Radio, players, how about the deal the Yankees had to deal with? The Yankees-Red Sox the other night, I guess that game got over about 2 a.m., and of course, getting back to the hotel in New York is no easy task. That's a good 45 minutes with traffic, and they've had to turn around and have a day game. So that's the life. That's what we deal with.
I know. All right. Give us a little bit of your thoughts on the first week of the season coming out of spring training. We really didn't know what to expect, and we always say you flip the switch and the big leaguers start playing right away. You start off in Arizona, then you run into San Diego. How do you assess this first week?
Well, you know, you always talk about spring, and we tend to over-evaluate in the spring. Guys aren't hitting, the guys aren't doing this. And it's important for some players, obviously, so we can get a read on them and evaluate them, guys trying to make the club. But, you know, we started swinging the bats pretty good at the end of spring training, and that carried over into the season, the first few games. Now, runs have always been like gold down here at Petco Park, and we pitched well too. So we had a rough game yesterday, and it's been hard for us to score here. I mean, San Diego has some very good pitching, so it's a pretty much on key to what one would expect. I think what is not is obviously the injuries that we're having. You know, we say coming out of spring training, if we can be healthy and get these guys in baseball shape, it's a plus. And we were, for the most part, except for Kane in his last start, and then Ishikawa went down right before the season opener, too, that kind of put us behind the eight ball. Now we're still battling the injury bug.
Yeah, McGee goes down last night. He comes out of the game. Any word on McGee and what may be going on with him? And I know, you know, he's had an interesting week. I think he's pressing a little bit, tell you the truth. But what's up with Casey McGee that you can share with us?
Yeah, I won't give you any breaking news here this morning. When I left last night, the results from the MRI were not in. I heard that it's not too bad, but okay. I'll let the professionals and the people in charge of that area break the news with him. I hadn't spoken to a trainer at length, so hopefully it's good news because we can't afford to lose him for any length of time. We're already playing a couple men short. Position-wise, and, you know, he would be another one.
All right. Well, what's your take on McGee? And I love to get your thoughts on defense as a third baseman. Now, we're used to seeing Sandoval going all over the place, flopping and covering some pretty good territory. What is your take now watching McGee here in the first week of the season as a third baseman?
Pretty much what I anticipated. I know he had the one game where he had two errors, and I don't anticipate a lot of that. You know, his error totals have been down over his career. I agree with your comment that he's pressing. You know, he wants to get off to such a good start. And we've talked about it. He's mentioned it to me, you know, and he says he should know better. He's bounced around with different teams, but, you know, he's back home. He's with the Giants. He wants to contribute so much that I think he's trying a little bit too hard. But he'll settle in and do a very good job. I think he's very reliable at third base, very reliable. And two things that he does better than Pablo, quite frankly, is come in on a bunt, on a slow roller bunt, and gets the ball quicker. He can make that play. And also starting the double play from third base, getting the ball to second base. Pablo was a little slow in doing so, and Casey's going to help us turn more double plays when the ball's hit to him.
I agree with that. Hey, there was a play in the A's game yesterday that was interesting to me. And, you know, you're involved with replays all the time. The neighborhood play at second base. In other words, what the umpire said, listen, if it's a true throw to second base, we'll allow you to be in the neighborhood. But if the throw is off a little bit, you better be on the bag and we're going to review it. Is that something new? But I always thought the replay wasn't going to get involved with the neighborhood play. But according to the umpire yesterday, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, no, they've said that that's the way the rule reads, just as you explained it, which is a little bit shaky in my opinion because, you know, they're allowing a good throw, the infielder, to cheat. But if the throw takes you off the bag, as you said, any way, one way or the other, then it is a reviewable play if the infielder's foot was on the bag or not. My contention is you can have a good throw and you can really cheat and be off the bag, which some guys do, and that's not fair either. So, I mean, knowing this rule is in effect, you know, they're giving you a free opportunity to really cheat and turn the double play without your foot being on the bag, which, you know, I haven't seen it happen yet. But in the old days, the umpires, you know, if you started cheating too much, they'd say, hey, give me a better look than that. You better touch the bag next time. But what they're saying today is, you know, the umpires still could say that. But what they're basically saying is if a player does do that on a good throw, they're not going to let you review it and say, hey, the guy was off the base.
Boy, very good. That is the professor on Sunday morning. You're the professor. You know that people call you that now.
I guess my sister's rubbing off on me.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, they do, Marty. I tell you, you tab me the professor. I walk out of the stadium, and Charles, our bus driver that picks us up at the airport, he says, hey, professor. I get ushers calling me the professor, so I guess there's no turning back now.
No, you know the game called. It's great. Ron Wotus, the professor, the bench coach, with us this morning. Aoki has had an interesting week. He's growing on me as a hitter, I'll tell you that. You know, I haven't seen I don't know if there are that many leadoff hitter type guys in baseball today. A lot of more power guys, and the game's changed a little bit. But this is the prototypical slap the ball around, get on base, be annoying. And I think, you know, he's got this hitting streak going. He's a tough out.
Yeah, he is. Well, that's why we picked him up. You know, he is a tough out. And he's able to hit lefties and righties, so you don't have to necessarily platoon him. And that's his style. That's where his value is most needed at the top of the lineup. You know, even when he doesn't get a hit most of the time, he makes the pitcher work. He makes them throw pitches. You have to execute your pitches with him. So he's done very well so far offensively, and that's important. You get your first couple guys on when the middle of your lineup comes up.
And then he starts running, which becomes interesting.
Well, yeah, he's had a couple of interesting decisions on the bases, to say the least. One in Arizona and one last night, and you know, worked out last night when he ran through the you know, Roberto's hold sign at third base, and he got away with it because they kind of fumbled the relay. But when you're down by 9 runs, and if they execute that relay perfectly, there could be a play at the plate, and that's the last thing Roberto Kelly wants when you're down by 9.
And it's the last thing Roberto Kelly needs. You know, really, as he gets his feet on the ground, and, you know, there's a little mix-up earlier in the week with Aoki coming around, and, you know, he's trying to get his legs on the ground and understand these runners and all that. But I'll tell you one thing, Aoki was not stopping. You'd have to tackle him. You'd have to be Ronnie Lott to stop him on that play.
Yeah, well, if you're going to make decisions on your own, you darn sure better be right all the time.
All right. Well, interesting. Bruce Bochy last night commented in the paper about some of the throws from the outfield. You and I have talked about this so many times. Center fielder throwing the ball to third base allows the trail runner to get another bag. The right fielder overthrows the cutoff man. I don't know if Duffy was in the right spot or whatever on one of those plays, but you got to throw and keep that double play in order, especially when runs are at a premium.
Yeah, well, that's why we emphasize cutoffs and relays in the spring. We do that fundamental as much as any other fundamental because it affects so many games. Every baseball game, you know, you're trying to throw the ball through a cutoff man to get the lead runner or have to cut the ball to keep the double play in order. And, you know, look, we're a ball club that can't afford to give extra bases and make these mistakes. We're going to be scratching and clawing for runs until Hunter comes back and Belt comes back. And we have to make better decisions and execute better on that end of it. So it's a point well taken by Boch. Our players are aware of it. And sometimes, again, it boils down to a guy trying to do too much, throw somebody out and leaving the ball too high instead of just staying with your fundamentals.
Yeah, it's the adrenaline. I realize that. But when you look at some veterans, you say, come on, you know, you've played the game long enough. Just get the ball where it should go. But there's adrenaline in baseball. And the adrenaline sometimes gets the better of you. And it was an interesting play the other day. Just get some of your thoughts from the bench. Watching Pagan and the Gum and Derek Norris, what did you guys think at that point? And what did you think as you're watching it? Did you have any idea what was going on?
No, we didn't. I didn't see him toss the gum. And the next thing you know, we have warnings on both sides. But, you know, we like to see that fire. Look, you know, boys will be boys. And in Angel's explanation, he picked up the gum. He meant to throw it across the batter's box. When you look at the television replay of it, it looks like he threw it right at Norris. He said he was throwing it across, and the gum stuck to his finger and went to his feet. And it was an innocent thing. Angel, there's no way Angel was doing that on purpose. So, you know, I believe Angel and that he was throwing it across. The gum hit Norris, and, you know, it's a typical response. I talked to Whitey, you know, our bullpen catcher now who's been a catcher, and I think anybody back there would say, hey, what the heck? You're throwing gum at me? What's going on here? And, you know, that's the way we play this game. And they had a couple of words. It was an unfortunate incident. You know, no big deal. I don't think there's going to be any carryover from that. But, you know, I read some tweets from Norris after the game that he doesn't go out to center field and throw bubble gum in center field and Angel Pagan. Well, that's just taking it a little too far. It was an innocent thing, and I think it should just be put to rest.
Especially at bat with Kimbrough was terrific. I mean, that was one of the best at bats of the year so far, where he ended up with the triple after he got buzzed under his chin.
Well, Angel plays with a lot of emotion. Maybe he should throw gum in the catcher every time, because he did get fired up.
Didn't he?
And Kimbrough's no easy at bat. And he got the bat head out there and hit a triple for us. So, unfortunately, we were unable to get him in. But, good at bat by Angel.
Well, I tend to believe Pagan that it was a missed throw of the gum after watching him throw the ball around this week.
Yes, it was. I mean, there's no question. There's no reason to do that. And I know Angel and his mindset here. It was just an innocent thing that happened. And, of course, it gets a lot of attention.
All right. Well, we love that part of baseball. You know, you go through 162, you can't flatline all the time. And it's easy to do that because it's such a long season. Sometimes, I don't know, how do you feel about it? Sometimes it's good to just get the adrenaline going a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to play this game with adrenaline. I mean, we play every single day. I've said it before, and a lot of players would probably agree with me. The hardest thing to do is, you know, get up day in and day out. I mean, these guys are professionals, and, you know, you want to play with that intensity. You know, I used to use a phrase that, hey, play like it's the last game you're ever going to play, because things do get routine. Things do get mundane, and, you know, you have to keep that edge. And I think that's one thing that we've been very, very successful at, and one of the reasons we have so much success in the playoffs is we do play like that. And this is a club that needs to do that, needs to do the little things and be on top of our game.
Yeah, you look like you did it this week. I love the 2-1-0 games. I say if those were in October, they would be classics forever. So I saw Giants baseball this week, even though a couple of the games got out of control with a couple of home runs and Bumgarner getting lit up. But I've seen a lot of Giants baseball, and it looks like you guys, I can see why you played well in October. It shines through. It really does, so I like it. Hey, you're the professor. You had a pupil this week. You still got him. I'm not sure if he's going to catch today or play third or maybe the outfield or first base. But, I mean, honestly, you know, here's a kid, Matt Duffy, and he comes up last year and he gives a nice jump to the ball club. I guess scores that run from second base. And every time there's a hole in the team now, this kid's going there, and he's your pupil. What the heck are you doing with him, and how do you teach him to be a first baseman in the big leagues overnight?
Yeah, well, you know, he has that type of bat, and we believe in this kid, and we want to try to get him in the lineup. So he's going to get opportunities, just as Boach put him at first base. So we had a couple days to work with him over there. I had him out early on Thursday. We got the field early just so we can go over a lot of the things that will happen. And that's all you can do, Marty, is try to prepare them the best you can. But unfortunately, when you've never played a game at first base in your life, things happen at game speed and things arise that you really can't prepare them for. And you did see it last night in the relay situation with Angel throwing home. He was late getting over there. He was late, and then when you get there late, it's hard to make a decision on whether to cut the ball or let the ball go. And so that's the first time he's even been involved on that side of the diamond. Now, he's done it at third base, even though he hasn't had a lot of experience there. He's done it at third base, But things happen fast. There's a lot of little things at first base, a lot of nuances to the position that we can't prepare him with ground balls. It just has to be game experience. So he'll be a work in progress, and he's a baseball player. He's very coachable. He's very attentive, and he'll do the best job he can.
Well, hey, tomorrow is opening day in San Francisco, the flag raising tomorrow, celebrating the amazing run through October. Your feelings about tomorrow, just number one, opening day at home. Maybe some of your thoughts of some prior opening days at home, and also about the fact that the flag goes up tomorrow.
Well, it's special. Opening day on its own is special. We've had two so far this year, one in Arizona, one in San Diego, and ours will put those to shame. Nothing against these two organizations, but we always have a tremendous opening day with the atmosphere and our fans. Coming off a World Series win, I think the fans are going to be that much more excited to see the ball club again, and it makes it special. But, you know, we're very fortunate, Marty, because our fans are with us everywhere. It's become the norm now in spring training the last few years. When we go on the road, we have more Giant fans in these visiting parks than we do the home team fans. And it's happened in Arizona already and here in San Diego. Now, San Diego's had big crowds, so they've been able to drown out the Giant fans, but we still have our contingent here. And it's becoming real popular and routine. Then they start chanting, "Let's go Giants," and the home crowd's got to try to pick it up to drown out the Giant fans. So we're anxious to have the energy of our fans back home, and they've been supporting us here even on the road this year, and it's going to be a special day.
Yeah, plus, you know, San Francisco does it right on the flag raising. Do you have any? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Will it be a surprise for you?
Well, we'll go over it tomorrow. I'm talking to Shayna, who coordinates that. I know a couple little details, which I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
All right.
Say. I'll leave that up to the other people. But I don't know every little detail, but a couple points of what will happen, just the logistics, because we need the timing of that and all that type of stuff. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. The guys will be looking forward to it, and it'll be a great day.
Well, they said Bumgarner should ride out there on a horse. How about that? That was one of the suggestions.
Well, you know what? Anything is possible, Marty. Anything is possible.
Right. Then they said they should have a line of moving the flag along, and he should jump ahead two or three spaces every time. So he's the guy that takes it along. He really did have an amazing October, let's face it. Yeah, he did. It was just incredible. And to see him last night, what happened with him last night?
I think he was a little flat. I think his delivery, his angle on his pitches were not quite where he wanted it to be. And that's going to happen. And you got to give the hitters credit. You know, they were looking in, and they did a lot of damage pulling the ball on him. So I think they had a good game plan. He didn't have his normal stuff that he normally goes out there with. But knowing Bum, I just walked out here early. Nobody's here yet, but Bum was out here playing catch with the bullpen catcher, working on his delivery already at 9 in the morning. So he'll get it straightened out, and you won't see that very often from Madison Bumgarner.
No, really. Now, if I ask you the question, whose earned run average is closer to 6, Clayton Kershaw or Madison Bumgarner, who would you say?
Wow, isn't that something, huh? The beauty of baseball. You never know what's going to happen, Marty. I think I've heard you say that once or twice.
Yeah, about 50
times.
That's
why we have to play the games.
Yeah, Kershaw, 5.84, and gave up a Goldschmidt home run, knocked him out of the game, and young Archie Bradley threw a great game for Arizona. I love the West. Well, I'll let you go with this. I just love the West. I know Colorado's coming in. They got beat yesterday. But, you know, Arizona with Tony La Russa, they're going to play tough ball. They've got pitching coming back later. The Dodgers, you know, you never, ever take them lightly. You guys, San Diego, I think the division is pretty good.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a battle for us because the division did get better. You know, you look every year. I remember years and years ago when the division Arizona, they had Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson in a rotation. And, you know, the division was very, very tough. It had tremendous pitching, not just them, but the Dodgers. And then some of those pitches got traded away or they free agencies. They went to other places. But I think the division's back. People have gotten better in this division. San Diego certainly has, and it's gonna be tough. So we got to get healthy and take them a day at a time.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you another guy, Clint Barmus. Every time I turn around, this guy's doing something against the Giants.
Well, he's been around a long time, and he's a kind of a player that would fit in the Giant mold, being a gamer and plays the game hard, and it's something to help you win the game. So, I heard San Diego's looking for a shortstop, though. Yeah. They have him and Marista platooning. I guess they're not completely happy with that, but Clint is 36 years old, and that's a demanding position at 36. But he's a heck of a man, a heck of a ball player. He's had a good career for himself.
All right. Well, have a good day. I really look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And it'll be a great day in San Francisco. And it's just a celebration of such a good job, well done in October. So I think it's going to be great tomorrow. But I appreciate you taking the time. The professor. Thank you, Ron.
You got it, Marty. Good to be back with you.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, that is the professor, Ron Wotus, live from San Diego. 808 KMBR is the number. We'll take a break. Back with you and more right here on the Sports Leader.